You can't keep those folky roots away. I mean, Nancy and I are such folkies. It's really amazing. And I say that in a good way. I mean, I'm proud of it.
I think if there's anything we brought to rock and roll, it was the blending of acoustic,
right,
you know, stylings with heavy rock.
Hi, this is Ann Wilson.
And I'm Nancy Wilson.
In the studio for the anniversary of Heart's Little Queen.
There's a widespread belief that we're experiencing a new opportunity in the music business for independent bands to compete with big record companies for the favor and the wallets and purses of music consumers. And while it's true that the internet, the iPod, iTunes, YouTube, and the like have empowered indie bands unlike ever before, it's certainly not the first time a musical mouse has roared. In a previous edition of In the Studio, we documented how the Seattle-based band Heart released their 1976 debut Dreamboat Annie on a tiny Canadian independent label while playing nightclubs and halls throughout the Northwest, selling the album literally from the trunk of their car. After 2 years on the U.S. sales chart and going top 10, Dreamboat Annie eventually would sell more than 2 million copies. Heart performed 150 shows in the 10 months following Dreamboat Annie's release. Eventually, they took a break long enough to begin working on their follow-up album. I wondered about the mood coming off the Cinderella story that was the long struggle to get Dreamboat Annie to sell top 10. First, younger sister guitarist Nancy Wilson, followed by singer Ann, in the studio.
Well, it was... pretty euphoric. I mean, there was that pressure, and as we were writing, we really worked hard. I mean, we had a lot of discipline. We would go to Ann's house, and we'd work and work and work and work and write all day, and, you know, we really had a lot of discipline because we knew the pressure was on, and we had a lot to live up to. But at the same time...
It was fun pressure.
It was, it was really, really fun because we knew it was working, and we'd gotten enough, you know, positive reinforcement from our fans and everything to know that, hey, you know, we're not just a fluke. You know, we have a chance to make another album, so let's really get into it and do it great and do it right. So when we did start coming into the studio for Little Queen, it was really magical. We were still kind of fresh from the 60s. We had all of that immense hope and dreaminess that the 60s embodied, you know, and we had that still. And you can really hear that on the songs like, you know, the mandolin, peppered songs, and the lyrics throughout are very, very fanciful. And so we were basically having ourselves a blast.
Yeah, and like we would do things like send somebody out into the woods with a little reel-to-reel to get sounds of a dog barking, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
We didn't go to the library of sound effects and use records.
Oh,
we
no.
went out and got them, you know, and went down to the Pike Place Market and got the sound of
street
the
musicians.
Guy behind the pork knuckles counter and stuff like that. It was pretty great.
Yeah.
I mean, we felt like we were really being artists.
Experimental.
Now you're hot on the press of the day, little queen. Making your passion play, little queen. Nobody knows your melancholy mind, little queen. Away from the sellers, the paper said. Yeah. And you had on the dress of the day, little queen, making your passion play, little queen. Nobody knows you're milling cattle, little queen, yeah. Little queen, yeah. Little queen, yeah. Little queen, magazine. Little queen,
title song to Hart's May 1977 album Little Queen. Shortly after that release, Hart was suddenly in demand by concert promoters to be packaged with many headlining bands as opening support, vaulting over theater-sized venues from cabaret clubs in the Pacific Northwest to huge arenas. First, lead singer Ann Wilson, followed by guitarist Sister Nancy.
The size of the halls is probably not the biggest adjustment that you have to make personally. I think the biggest one is just all of a sudden you hear people talking about you, like record people refer to you not as a person anymore, but rather as we. You know, everyone goes, well, we're going to play this hall and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. It's not Ann and Nancy anymore. It's we. You become part of this big group that moves around the country like a big amoeba, you know, and just... So that was a big adjustment from personalness to being part of a group, really. The size of the halls, I think, when you walk out there in front of 10,000 people and it's someone else's audience, like say you're warming up for Loggins and Messina and the place is packed, you kind of take a grain of salt, like, well, it's their audience. It's kind of hard because they're waiting for Loggins and Messina, so they're going, come on, come on, come on, come on, hurry up. And as a lead singer, I learned not to say, you know, not to say, well, this is going to be our last song, because they go, yeah, you know. So there were those kinds of adjustments, you know.
But, you know, being out there for the first time on those bigger stages where you weren't like shoulder to shoulder on a club cabaret stage or something was pretty great, you know, because it was definitely a million thrills to walk out on a big, you know, get some big boards under your feet, you know.
And yeah, and you only have to play like 45 minutes.
Yeah. Of course, we didn't have that much material after Dreamboat Annie. We did do like a long guitar solo and a long
We stopped doing the Led Zeppelin medley.
Drum solo and stuff. But we were received fairly well, depending on the region we were in. But, you know, being out on those big stages, it was like, well, God, I guess I can move around now. You know,
yeah.
Great. Oh, really? Some great ones. Like, we played with ZZ Top. We opened for them a little bit up in
BTO.
And those guys used to come up to us and go, hey, you guys really jam for a couple of girls.
Yeah, right.
And you play a mean guitar for a little gal.
And like, hey there, woman, you really wail. But it was always kind of like for a girl. You know, I mean, that was always tacked on the end of it. I think... back then, the idea of women in rock was so new that a lot of guys kind of got turned on by it. I mean, guys in bands would get turned on by it, but I don't think they felt threatened yet. You know, I mean, they thought, well, they're good and everything, but they're only girls, so I don't have to feel threatened, you know? I mean, with a little sexual innuendo in there, you know? But guys will be guys. That's one of the things that we love about them, too, is their sexual nature, and so... I mean, you can't razz them down for that, you know. As it's gone on, it's women get more and more inundated into the very fabric of bands in this country. It's different now. It was impossible for Nancy and I to room with the boys. It just was, because there was too much clothes changing going on, and we had special, like, makeup needs and all this kind of stuff. So there, you know, we always used to have our own dressing room.
And when we didn't...
Even from the start.
Even when we didn't, we'd have our big wardrobe cases that we'd open up.
We'd hide behind,
Yeah, we'd just go behind there, you know. And we worked it out.
Yeah.
When we were staying with a couple of the guys in the band at the time, we were having romances within the band. Yeah, good idea.
Yeah. And,
so, you know, we were, at least we had that kind of security with us, because it really was like being thrown, well, it was a test of fire, you know, having that much success that soon for the very first album in our career. So we had to really, I think it was a really good thing. It was built in for us to have that security and someone to go back to your room with and, you know, walk outside at night with and escorts.
Or not. Yeah.
Well, as it turned out later, you know, but at the time, I think it was a really good thing.
Yeah. Back then, we were just so naive that we were just really overjoyed to be allowed to make a record, you know, at all. And so people would go, ah, come on, you little babe, sit down there and pull down your top. So, you know, we want to see your shoulders and everything. And we'd go, okay, Mr. Man, sure, you know. So I think, you know, at times we came off a little bit sweet. And we were a lot younger, too. I mean, we did have a lot of honest-to-goodness naivete, but inside of us, we were two women who had just gotten through playing clubs, you know, in across America and across Canada, and we were like rockers. I think our image took a while to catch up with the reality of who we were.
Heartless, sounding fresh and funky even four decades later, curiously does not appear on Little Queen, Heart's second album. Or was it? Coming up next, Ann and Nancy Wilson reveal why Heart stopped beating at a critical point in their newly found success. Follow In the Studio on Facebook and find all of your favorite bands at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard, in the studio with Ann and Nancy Wilson of Heart.
Hi, this is Ann Wilson of Heart.
And I'm Nancy Wilson.
And we're in the studio for Little Queen.
We're with Redbeard.
Thank you, ladies. Released this week in May 1977 by a major American record label. But shortly thereafter, another Heart album called Magazine came out as well on the band's original Canadian independent label, Mushroom Records. Lead singer-songwriter Ann Wilson reveals that the band suffered a heart attack, legally, at the hands of their original record company.
Well, you know, Little Queen wasn't really going to be our second album. The second album was going to be Magazine. And we had a big concept for it. It was going to be a big concept album with a gatefold cover that opened up with pages
and articles and pictures.
Oh, it was going to be great.
Photo spreads and fashion spreads.
Right, yeah, with all the lyrics and just all the stuff for fans to discover. And so we set about recording that. And then in the midst of that, our legal people were scrambling, you know, to kind of get in balance and figure out what's going on with all this huge success and money rolling in. And they discovered that our record label, well, they just weren't paying us, you know. And so then began the big legal thing where we said, well, we should get paid for this. And they went, no, you shouldn't. So then we got involved in this big litigation, and the record label actually put a stop to our recording of Magazine. So we had all these problems, and that kind of put the mockers on the whole Magazine project. I mean, we all felt really weird about it, and so we kind of, when things cleared up, we went back to making another record. We started fresh with Little Queen and got a new idea, a new concept, wrote a bunch of new songs, you know, just started fresh. And we were just really conscious of trying to follow Dreamboat Annie, because the amount of notoriety that was thrown at us was almost too much for us to handle. And it really had us out of balance, you know. So we were saying, well, we got to measure up to ourselves, which is the weirdest thing to have to think about in the world. I think that we pretty much did it, you know. But nothing's ever going to be as good as the first outing where you cut the cord. You know, like, it's never going to be quite the same with the second album, with the follow-up album.
Although I think we did a real great job.
We did a great job.
Because we opened up a lot more into the acoustic and mandolin area.
Yeah, we got real wild with songs like Dream of the Archer and Sylvan Song and Say Hello and those types of things.
The sky was dark this morning when I raised my head. I stood at the window, the darkness was my bane. But suddenly a sunbeam thrilled me to my weary heart. It was the prettiest thing I'd ever seen. I knew I had to keep my love alive. Keep my love alive. Oh, baby, I want you to roll me, hold me in your love. No more habits, promises, and jive. Ever since I was a baby girl, wanted one thing most in this world. It was to keep my love alive. Yeah, I gotta keep my love alive. Keep my love, keep it alive. Well, oh, I know I gotta keep my love. We'll be right back.
a sound that was quickly becoming a trademark for Heart, the light and shade of acoustic and electric, and the dynamics they create. That's Love Alive from Heart's 1977 second release, Little Queen.
I was newly in a relationship, and I woke up, and he was not paying attention to me. He was asleep, and it made me really mad. And I mean, that's like an oversimplification, but I was really unhappy, and I got up, and I went in the middle of the night, and I went and sat on the floor in front of a plate glass window and watched the dawn come up and just went, God, what am I doing here? You know, I should be with somebody who really cares, you know. And the dawn came up, and I saw it come up, and I just thought, hey, wait a minute, you know, like, there's a continuum here. You know, here comes a new day. It sounds kind of trite and corny, but at the moment it was real moving to me, and that's where that came from. You can't keep those folky roots away. I mean, like Nance and I are such folkies. It's really amazing, and I say that in a good way. I mean, I'm proud of it, because that's, I mean, all folk music is really is the heartbeat of this country's music.
Well,
really,
I think if there's anything we brought to rock and roll, it was the blending of acoustic,
right?
You know, stylings with heavy rock.
Well, all folk music means is people's music, obviously.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like you put it to rock and it's rock and roll.
Yeah.
The Furious Barracuda from Hart's 1977 Little Queen. Since Hart had no less than three guitarists back then, I asked Nancy Wilson who came up with that muscular riff.
Barracuda?
Yes. Barracuda. Well, actually, Roger Fisher came up with that lick. It was a kind of a tribute, you might say, to Nazareth, who had just had done a real great version of This Flight Tonight by Joni Mitchell. It had that same
jig-ta-ka-jung-ta-ka-jung. And also Achilles Last Stand. I mean,
yeah,
we were really way into that.
Yeah, and so he had that basic riff, which we kind of plucked from his array of riffs to work with and wrote the rest of the song around it. And, you know, at the time we were feeling a little hurt, you know, because of the litigations we were involved in and everything. And of course, Barracuda was, representative of the shark, you know, that we were suddenly swimming in the big waters with.
The most important thing was the music. And there are some really positive songs on there, too. I think Barracuda was probably the only one that on that album that talked about that.
It was a real lash. Yeah, we really lashed out on that
song.
Oh,
yeah, just get us mad and look out.
Whoa, a couple of wet hands.
Yeah. Just don't cross them.
Helpless, helpless, now they scream it. Helpless on the path.
from his dream, singing string beneath his hand.
I think you're actually looking at the thing that makes heart heart, right with those two songs, you know.
That's a direct stem from our Zeppelin influence, too. I mean, that's probably the only other band you really got that far into acoustic on the same album. You would get, you know, heavy Leadfoot stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that one was totally magical. We were very into kind of a Zen concept at the time, and the whole idea of, you know, not aiming too hard to achieve the bullseye, you know, in simplistic terms.
Yeah, like if you just relax, you might...
If you relax into something, you're probably going to strike it, you know, a lot
faster.
It's like,
use the force, Luke.
Yeah.
Still to come, Ann and Nancy Wilson of Heart tell the backstory on that famous Little Queen album cover photo shoot, such as Where to Rent a Goat in L.A., Follow In the Studio on Facebook and online anytime at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard in the studio with Heart Specialists Ann and Nancy Wilson, the triple platinum Little Queen.
Hi, this is Ann Wilson of Heart. Welcome back to In the Studio with Redbeard.
Hi, this is Nancy Wilson from that notorious band called Heart. Welcome back to In the Studio. We're with Redbeard.
Thanks again. We're looking at Heart's Little Queen album. For the album cover, the band chose to stage an elaborate photo shoot near LA's Dodger Stadium, with band members dressed authentically as 18th century wandering minstrels. Anna Nancy Wilson of Heart really got into it.
Elysian Park in LA.
Yeah, and we went first to, we had this big idea about making the band look like a band of gypsies, you know, and just really doing it up big and giving the people something to really look at and get into. And so we went to Western Costumers in Hollywood, where they get the costumes every movie in the world.
We brought suitcases full of, little stuff from our houses and went to L.A. and got costumes and went to the park.
Got a real gypsy wagon.
Yeah. Rented a wagon, rented the goat.
Horses.
Rented the horses. And really made a day of it. It was actually really fun.
It's a great-looking photo, and there's only one thing in the whole picture that dates the photo, and that's that... There's a zipper on my boot, and someone forgot to say, oh, Ann, turn your leg the other way, you know, and so that's the only thing that dates the photo, and it could, like, otherwise have been taken in the 1700s. Everything is just perfect.
Kick it out!
Straight Ahead Sassy Rock, Kick It Out is an early Ann Wilson composition on Little Queen. As it turns out, Nancy isn't nearly as tough on it as Ann.
I've heard that song recently on the radio. It really kicks.
To me, it sounds like something like, she was sitting in the lounge of the Empire Hotel. You know, it's like one of those Joni songs that really rocks, you know.
It
kind of reminds me of one of those, you know. Like something really straight ahead, along the lines of Led Zeppelin's ow, 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 ow. You know, one of those that's like an old-fashioned straight-ahead rocker that just, careens along. So I think we got that. A lot of people really like that. I think women identify with that song.
You just don't like the line about sweet little love, getting high, getting down.
No, I just don't like the one about the filly.
Little
filly, you know.
Sweet little running filly on her own.
Like the extended metaphor of the woman as a wild horse on the beach kind of got to me after a while. You know? It was like, God.
That song, I mean, you know, musically, it's one of those real feel-good rock songs. You know?
Yeah.
But she'll never live it down.
I'll never live it down.
I could tell you that, you know, when I hear those songs now, I feel proud, for one thing. I feel like we really did contribute something fresh to music. And I think really proud, too, because those songs stand up quite well today. We've kind of invented our own style that still kind of has held on through time, which is really the ultimate compliment for anyone, I think. And as far as how it compares to where we're at today, you know, honestly, there is a little nostalgia because things aren't essentially as, I think, as fresh as they used to be in rock and roll. I think that's a lot more flaked and formed. And rock and roll, now that there's a lot of dance and stuff, you know, that's, really muscling in there to the market, everybody's scared to do anything new. Everybody wants the big power ballad, you know, the palatable rock song, bubblegum rock song.
Yeah, people want success and they want money, you know.
Yeah, and that too. And I think that's kind of put a leash on the wild animal that it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look back with a little nostalgia a little bit, but, you know, we're forever. I mean, these days, now that we've kind of come back again and we've kind of reestablished ourselves in the present, we have bigger plans than ever to kind of exercise our right to be different.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Again, who really puts the leash on an animal, and that's the animal's owner. I mean, it's not the plane, the pilot, you know.
Yeah, and needing to come back and make our comeback, we did it in a comfortable way.
Right.
Now that we're back, we've got more freedom than ever.
Yeah.
astounding. A thunderous live performance of Barracuda, June of 2016 at London's Royal Albert Hall. I'm Redbeard, back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking two of my favorite guests, Ann Wilson and Nancy Wilson. In the Studio is written and produced by yours truly, Redbeard, for Bearded Fish Productions. Copyright 2017, all rights reserved. Transcription, Jane Carpenter Brune. Theme song by Andy Timmons. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and at inthestudio.net.